Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
There are 5 cases from BuzzFeed Unsolved which have now either been fully or significantly solved, and we're going to begin by looking at Forest Fenn's treasure, which finally came to a full conclusion back in June 2020. Ryan and Shane investigated the mystery 2 years prior in September 2018, during which they explained that world-renowned treasure collector Forest Fenn had hidden an actual treasure chest somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, which contained over $1 million worth of valuable antiquities. In Forest Fenn's memoir, he wrote a 24-line poem which included 9 hidden clues on how to find the treasure, and while the concept seemed fairly simple, over 65,000 people had attempted to find the treasure to no avail. Ryan and Shane then explained that the treasure could be found in 1 of 4 specific US states.
The treasure is located in either Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, or New Mexico. Of the 4 states listed by Fenn, I tend to lean towards New Mexico or Wyoming. Wyoming, because a majority of Yellowstone National Park resides within that state, and Yellowstone was a place where Fenn spent his formative years camping with his father.
And although Wyoming seemed like the most likely location for the treasure, the boys eventually settled on looking in New Mexico, flying to the state with over a month's worth of research under their belt. Ryan and Shane looked at 3 different locations in New Mexico, put up with bad weather and rough terrain, and at one point even thought that they had found the treasure.
That right there, look, there's a box.
What do you mean there's a box?
Here, look. Is that a box or just a very square rock? That is a very, very square rock.
However, the trip ultimately ended with the boys leaving empty-handed.
I think we may just have to come to terms with the fact that we're not going home with treasure.
And the location of Forest Fenn's treasure remained a mystery. That would be until approximately 2 years later on the 6th of June 2020, when the following post was made to Forest Fenn's personal blog. It was under a canopy of stars in the lush forest of vegetation of the Rocky Mountains, and had not moved from the spot where I hid it more than 10 years ago. I do not know the person who found it, but the poem my book led him to the precise spot. I congratulate the thousands of people who participated in the search and hope they will continue to be drawn by the promise of other discoveries. So the search is over. Look for more information and photos in the coming days. Forrest. As promised, this photo showed up on the blog in the days that followed, before these two were also posted, confirming that the treasure had in fact been found. 1 month later, it was revealed that the treasure was found in Wyoming, which was one of the 2 states highlighted in the BuzzFeed Unsolved episode, although not the state that the boys eventually went to. 6 months later, in December 2020, the person who had found the treasure finally revealed himself as 32-year-old medical student Jack Stoof, who coincidentally used to be one of BuzzFeed's writers. Jack had found out about the case in 2018, the same year that Ryan and Shane investigated it, and stated that he thought about it for at least a couple hours a day every day since he learned about it, also adding that he planned on selling the treasure to pay off his student loans. The treasure went up for auction on the 13th of December 2022, and after a whopping 1,643 bids, eventually sold for an impressive $1.3 million. And while it took over 10 years for someone to eventually find the treasure, this is nothing when compared to the boy in the box, who was recently identified after 65 years of mystery. Ryan and Shane covered the boy in the box back in August 2017, with the major details being that in 1957, a box was found on the side of a road in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which contained the body of a boy between 4 and 6 years of age. The box had serial numbers on the outside, a blanket on the inside, and items of clothing scattered around it. However, despite having access to numerous pieces of evidence, authorities were unable to identify who the boy was. For this reason, the boy was buried with a gravestone reading America's Unknown Child, which accompanied a sign on the street where the boy was found reading, "This unknown child became known as the boy in the box. He has never been identified. His case remains open. He is now called America's Unknown Child." His body had been exhumed exhumed on two separate occasions in 1998 and 2019 with the goal of running his DNA through genealogy databases. The 1998 test was unsuccessful. However, by 2019, testing had become significantly more advanced, and while the victim's DNA was so degraded that it took 2.5 years of work to be able to extract enough data to perform the genealogy, on the 8th of December 2022, the boy in the box was identified as Joseph Augustus Zarelli. His DNA was uploaded to genetic databases, which led detectives to relatives on his mother's side. After poring through birth records, they were also able to identify his father. They also learned that Zarelli's mother had 3 other children. Police refused to speculate on who killed Zarelli, though they noted, "We have our suspicions," meaning that while this identification is extremely fresh at the time of making this video, it's possible that the case could be fully solved sometime in the near future. However, if we're on the topic of fresh identifications, then we have to talk about the Lady of the Dunes, who after 48 years of mystery, was finally identified on the 31st of October 2022, just 38 days before the boy in the box. When Ryan and Shane looked into the Lady of the Dunes back in March 2020, they explained that she was found deceased on a beach in Provincetown, Massachusetts, yet because she'd been lying there for such a long period of time, the Lady of the Dunes had become unidentifiable.
Despite using bloodhounds, studying missing persons bulletins, scouring the registers of local lodgings, and looking into anyone who had a permit to bring their vehicle into the area, police turned up nothing.
The Lady of the Dunes also had extremely recognizable dental work. However, despite this and numerous different police sketches, nobody knew who she was. Similar to the boy in the box, the Lady of the Dunes was exhumed for DNA on 3 separate occasions in 1980, 2000, and 2013, although none of these resulted in her identification, leading the boys to state this.
For that to produce no kind of DNA evidence of like who this person is, it's kind of insane to me because 1974 is not that long ago.
No.
You would think that DNA would be fresh enough that you could figure out this person's identity.
What Ryan and Shane didn't know at the time was that within 2.5 years, the Lady of the Dunes' unknown son would undertake a DNA test with Ancestry.com, providing genealogy databases with enough evidence for the Lady of the Dunes to be identified. On October 31st, the FBI announced it finally identified the woman as Ruth Marie Terry, a native of Tennessee who was 37 at the time of her death. At the time of her disappearance, Ruth Marie Terry had mentioned to family that she was traveling to Massachusetts with her husband, Guy Muldalvin, who's now become the main suspect in the case. Despite being married at the time, Guy never officially reported the disappearance of his wife to the police and conveniently remarried a year later as if nothing had ever happened. What's even crazier is that Guy Muldalvin's previous wife had also gone missing and was eventually found dead alongside his daughter inside a septic tank on Guy's Seattle home. He served only 2 years in prison before being released, which was followed by him marrying Ruth Marie Terry, who was then found in the dunes only 5 months later. Guy Muldalvin died in 2002. However, if he is eventually found to be guilty, Ryan and Shane were correct in suggesting this.
It would seem that this was done by somebody who wasn't, I guess, like an amateur.
As well as this.
The unidentified victim would have known her murderer.
Yet were incorrect in suggesting that the crime had been done by an Italian mob boss or schizophrenic prison inmate Haddon Clark. However, in the case of Amelia Earhart, one of the theories put forward by the boys eventually turned out to be true. Ryan and Shane explained that Amelia Earhart was trying to become the first woman to fly around the world. However, on the stretch between Papua New Guinea and the Howland Islands in the South Pacific, Amelia Earhart, her navigator Frank Noonan, as well as their plane vanished and were never found again. The main theory put forward in the Unsolved episode was that Earhart's plane had run out of fuel and either crashed into the ocean or had successfully made a crash landing on the South Pacific island of Nikumaroro. Evidence for the successful crash landing was that 2 years after Earhart's disappearance, a British colonial officer by the name of Gerald Gallagher found a campfire, sexton, and a partial human skeleton on the previously uninhabited island. The bones were sent to a physician in Fiji, who concluded that they most likely belonged to a male who was short, stocky, and of European descent, eliminating the possibility that the bones belonged to Earhart. However, Ryan went on to explain that at a later date, the bones had been run through an updated database, which suggested that they could have belonged to a tall woman of European descent, which fit the description of Earhart perfectly. Well, approximately a year after the BuzzFeed Unsolved episode was uploaded, an article popped up on NPR.org titled, "New Research Claims Bones Found 80 Years Ago on Pacific Atoll Likely Amelia Earhart's," which explained that the bones had been run through Modern Ancestry Program 4DISC, which found that Hoodless had incorrectly determined the sex of the remains. The data revealed that the bones have more similarity to Earhart than to 99% of individuals in a large reference sample. It's a bit of a stretch to call the case of Amelia Earhart solved based on a couple of correctly sized bones. However, there's significantly better evidence for the person featured in BuzzFeed Unsolved's very first episode, the Somerton Man, who was finally identified in July 2022 after 74 years of mystery. The Somerton Man was found dead on a beach in Adelaide, Australia back in 1948, dressed immaculately in a full suit with polished shoes. Strangely enough, all of the tags had been removed from his clothing, with his fingerprints failing to hint at who he might be. The case became even weirder when a torn piece of paper was found sewn into his pants, with the Persian phrase Tamam Shud written on it, which translated to "It has ended," with the case reaching even deeper levels of weird when someone brought in the book from which the paper had been torn, explaining that he found the book in the back of his car, which was parked near Somerton Beach. When the boys revisited the case in season 6, they talked extensively about the University of Adelaide professor Derek Abbott, who was seemingly the most determined as well as the closest to figuring out who the Somerton Man was. Well, it will be only 2 years and 3 months after this BuzzFeed Unsolved episode that Derek Abbott would finally achieve a breakthrough using the Somerton Man's hair.
"We looked for people with no date of death on that tree. And there was one that stood out."
By using the DNA of a distant cousin living in Melbourne, Derek Abbott was finally able to confirm that the Somerton Man went by the name of Charles Webb.
"It was at this point that we knew that Charles Webb was the Somerton Man, and we'd finally cracked it.
It's not the Somerton Man story now. This is the Charles Webb story."
The theories put forward in the BuzzFeed Unsolved episodes, such as the Somerton Man was a Russian spy or a ballet dancer, were disproven after Derek Abbott revealed that Charles Webb simply grew up working in a bakery while playing football on the weekends. However, the other tragic detail revealed in the episode of Australian Story was that prior to being found on the beach, the Somerton Man was living an incredibly lonely life.
"He didn't have any friends. Not at all a happy person. Turns out that Charles loved to write poetry, and his favourite subject that he would write about was death. This story turns out that it's not some wild spy drama. It's really a sad, tragic, domestic situation."